Welcome back to the Better Than Best Academy, where we have extraordinary conversations with interesting people. And today is no short of that. I'm with a multimillionaire at 41. He's helping you to build wealth and get your financial crap together without sacrificing fun, family, or faith. He's a proud dad and husband. His name is Fabio. Fun fact, Fabio, is you're actually the second Fabio to be on my show. So that's exciting.
That's a little ridiculous. I know it's a somewhat common name in a couple of countries around the world, but that's a little crazy.
Yeah, I agree. I'm like, what are the odds of having two Fabios on my show? But now, Fabio, as we dive into today's conversation, I'd love to open with asking you about your tagline on Twitter, or I guess we call it X now, where you said, money ain't wealth. It's such a thought-provoking idea. So I'd love for you to kind of start there and tell us a little bit about where that came from.
Sure. And I thank you again for having me. Hopefully we can have a fun conversation and just touch a bunch of topics. Hopefully, you know, folks get value out of it and maybe change a little bit of their lives or think about things a little bit differently in the world of finances and beyond. Sure. The tagline, I'll get to it. It's obviously J.K. Molina has likes and cash. I remember hearing that and it kind of just made me pause and go, what is he doing there? You know, what does he mean? So I liked the fact that it made me stop. And so I was just talking to a couple of people about the world of finance. And I'm like, oh, what's my niche? Or like, you know, where do I fit in? Because I feel like it's second nature, a lot of the stuff I've done. I've been doing this for 30 years. So it just feels second nature. And I'm tired of talking about certain topics. And then I was going through a social scroll feed. And I saw this story about Tom Cruise not talking to his daughter. And I was like, wait, what? And, you know, it's like, is this clickbait or whatever the hell it is, you know? And it was just the lead up to Top Gun 2 Maverick. And, you know, he's the man, you know, 60 years old, jacked and like shredded and, you know, worth $700 million and can do anything and everything he wants. And, you know, generally a good guy. And I thought, wow, like, so his family isn't, you know, in the greatest of shape. And then I just all throughout, like, it just came flooding into my brain, all these millionaires and billionaires who are divorced. Or have dependencies and addictions, or you know, they're out of shape, et cetera. And I was like, you know, the pursuit of money is great. And I can tell you, like, my own journey, like, I hit my, you know, $1 million mark and then, you know, second million. And I'm just like, there was more. I wanted more. So as I did some research and talking and thinking through it, I realized that, like, money ain't wealth. And that's the tagline you're talking about, because it's more than that. Wealth is not just financial. There's actually five areas, and they are faith, family, fitness, finances, and fun. And if you look at it, and the way I talk about it is, if you're missing one of the five, yeah, life will go on. You know, no problem like that. You can be unbalanced in certain areas for seasons of your life, you know, and we talk about that, and you have to go, you know, grind to get yours. And once you make your bag, you can go do everything else. But a lot of times folks, you know, ignore it too much. And it's to the detriment of their, like, family, they end up divorced, health issues, things of that nature. Or it's like, hey, they're, you know, 40, 50 years old, and all of a sudden they realize, you know, they hadn't had fun, and they should have. So for me, that's where it comes from. And I hope it just sparks the conversation. And people are like, what the hell is this idiot talking about? Of course money is wealth. And so then occasionally I'll say, no, you know, here you go. And some of my tweets will ask, like, if you can only pick two of five of these things, what would you pick? And then people realize, like, well, I want it all. Yes, you want it all, and you should all. And so that's what I'm trying to communicate to people.
I love that. And it sounds like you've got such a great grasp on it. And I agree. As someone not nearly in that area yet, but it's so great to see, because a lot of my work is I work with those entrepreneurs, those fathers that have kind of been in that space of they've worked really hard to get where they're at. And then, like you said, they're either unfit or they're unhappy or they're on the brink of divorce or already divorced multiple times. And it's just, it's so curious. And my goal and my mission is to help those guys either prevent any more damage happening or potentially prevent that from happening to them in the future. And it's such a great idea. And I like how you did it in such a almost kind of tongue in cheek way of saying money ain't wealth. It's such an interesting.
Well, yeah, just like it hit you and just be like, what is he talking about? And that was the thing again with J.K. Molina about likes and Kafka. I'm like, well, those two things don't quite get together. Mine is like on the same plane. Money and wealth kind of are associated. Likes and cash, that's like a totally abstract thing. So I did that on purpose. And I want people to kind of question then and say, wow, you know, maybe I should be doing this life thing a little bit differently, you know, or maybe it's like not obsessing, I got to reach $1 million status and or $2 million in the bank or whatever the heck you want to go after. But maybe it's like a decent cash flow, living below your means so that you have some a little bit of breathing room so that you're not as stressed. And then maybe like when your kids want to play ball or do something and everything, you know, or you want to go on vacation, you don't have to worry so much. And, you know, you can invest the time now because it's like the song, you know, the song Cats in the Cradle. It's like you want to do something now. They want to do something now with you and you're just like busy or work or tired or on, you know, all that. And then a couple of years from now, they don't want to hang out with you. My kids are 10. So I'm very aware of that situation.
Yeah. Wow, that's so good. I'm curious with that thought, what is something you would tell like maybe a listener or someone watching that maybe they have young kids and they're in that grind mode. They're in that mode to really succeed and to build that wealth and almost at the expense of their family and their own health. What is something you would tell them?
And I'm not a saint. I'm not the best at it. I still struggle with it at times too, because I want to like have my me time. I want to read. I want to do that. I want to build a side hustle and do all that other stuff. But what I would tell them is it doesn't take that much time out of a day to have an impact. It could be something as silly as like, you want to watch The Simpsons together? Let's just watch The Simpsons together. You want to watch this movie together? Great. You want to go to an arcade, let's go to the arcade. And maybe you drop a couple extra bucks because you want to win that big prize because that's what they remember. So for me, I literally just think back to the memories that I have of my parents and vacations and things of that nature. And I'm like, signature moments in time. And it's not stuff that always has to cost money. It could be something as silly as like, hey, we're going for a family walk. You know, daddy's a little stressed right now. Let's go outside. Not that I do. I hate the heat when I'm not working out. So it's not something I would love to do, but it's things like that where it's just these little moments and experiences that they can have that will, you know, put deposits into the memory bank instead of like, you know, at the end of your life, they don't have many memories. It's like, oh, daddy was always working.
For sure. For sure. I'm curious. You mentioned the heat. Where are you located at?
No, I'm in Jersey, so it's not too bad. I actually just went for a run like an hour. I stopped an hour ago, you know, got ready and everything like that. But anytime it's in like high 80s and 90s and I'm just like, I'm done for the day. The last thing I want to do is, you know, break a sweat and then settle in for the night. So that's just my little quirk.
No, I get that. I'm out in Texas.
Oh my God. I can't compare to the heat in Texas. So
it's brutal. Oh, it's funny. Yeah. I've been cold plunging for a couple months now, and my cold plunge is in our garage, and it's just been ridiculous having to because I go to it.
The difference.
Like, yeah, it's like 80 degrees because I have to put new ice in it because I don't have the chiller yet. I'm just kind of testing out how things are, and I'm like, okay, cool. Let me go buy like hundreds of pounds of ice to get this even close to the right range it needs to be.
Good luck. Yeah. It's I can't even imagine.
It's wild, but I love what you mentioned there. And it's such a practical tip for the viewers and the listeners is it's that idea of not looking at the time that you don't have, but looking at what you do have. My former boss would always say it. She had a YouTube channel and stuff, and she would mention a lot of times, even on the simple things like working out, a lot of times people were like, man, I don't have an hour to commit to the gym, but you have 10 minutes and you have 10 minutes here, 10 minutes there. And that could be applied to all things. Like you mentioned, it could be something as simple as taking, you know, an hour, maybe just going to lunch with your kids or something practical as that. That's such a
simple family board night. It's a Wednesday night or pick a night, you know, or it's make a pizza night instead of ordering in. And it's just like they'll remember making pizza and stuff like that. Like my mom, you know, made pasta. I'm Italian. So my mom made pasta by hand and stuff like that. And like with us and everything. And then passed it really down to my sister who took to it and everything. But like, I have memories of those, like, you know, just watching her make the pasta. Hey, okay, come on over. We're making gnocchi, break the eggs. Something as simple as just involving your kids in that, or it's like, hey, I'm going to go do this. This is what I'm doing. Or, oh, I'm writing a tweet. This is what it is, you know? And it's like, well, what are you doing? just involving them a little bit goes a long way.
For sure. I love that. With this idea of kids, I'm sure you're going to love this question. What is the legacy you want to leave on this world?
I mean, I don't want to get all choked up and stuff. Like for me, it goes back to like, there's the financial side and like the mindset piece and things. And again, it's going to take a bigger commitment and, you know, to really have that impact. But I look back at myself where I was just like a financial disaster and I had a finance degree from a pretty good undergrad college, but like they don't teach you personal finance. Like, so, and I was living at home at the time and yet broke. Like it was just every dollar that came in, I was like, you know, entry level pay, you know, went out the door. And it was just a couple of books that I read that kind of just completely changed my mindset. So I read Automatic Millionaire. I read Millionaire Next Door. I read Rich Dad, Poor Dad. You know, I like The Millionaire Mindset or whatever the next series from the Stanley Danko and Danko, Thomas Stanley. And it just changed my mindset. And then I was able to like quickly right the ship on my finances, pay down my bad credit card debt. I went to school at night for my MBA, got high value skills, and you know, off I was to the races. Still made mistakes and things of that nature, but it's just like I just want to share the knowledge at this stage and also to encourage people who are already behind the eight ball. And I don't want to do it by selling them $1,000 courses and things of that nature, but like just providing the information, maybe some of the books I'll write and ebooks and things of that nature through podcasts like this, or maybe it's a tweet, a thread, or something, where they just sit there and say, huh, that's interesting. I thought making more money would solve everything, but maybe it doesn't. Or how can I quickly get a handle on my finances, like where the money is going? Oh, I could just download an app and connect everything. And then daily I'll know where I'm overspending my money. And it's the app's free. Like it's things like that, that I wish I had. I had to build a spreadsheet from scratch to do that. And so with the technology we have, with the awareness, with the information that we have at our fingertips, people should not be in the situation they're in. You know what I mean? And so I was lucky, great loving parents, things of that nature. I love to read and learn, and I, you know, got it, my MBA and all that other stuff. And yeah, I was able to just say, okay, this is good. This is the lifestyle I want. Luckily, most of my friends were the same way, you know, kind of like live below your means. We're not flashy type people. And so I didn't have to keep up with the Joneses. You know, I drove an old Camry into the ground, was my car for years, you know, and that's what I just want to share, the financial legacy, so that people then could have a little bit of the breathing room so they don't have to stress. Maybe they become financially free and then can have like a second career. So instead of like doing something for just the money, they can do something for the love of it as well. And then there's the, you know, the family piece too, of just maybe reminding people of like, there's more to wealth than just money, and you're going to want to be in shape. Like you don't want to wheelchair wealth, as what, you know, what they call it. Like when you're in your 50s and 60s and you're just poor health, you can't enjoy it. Enjoy it now too. Like that's part of the message of the fun piece. And if you have opportunity to go to a concert, or even you have to pay up the wazoo to go see Taylor Swift or whoever floats your boat.
Yeah.
Could be worth it. You know, it could be worth it to have that experience under your belt while you still can enjoy it. And if it's with your family or friends, go for it.
I love that. And I think it's great how mindset is such a, and it's funny to me because I feel like there's so many layers to our mindset. Because when I think about it, and I study those that have reached a level of success in business or something, but they may have missed it in another area. And yep. I think that's so interesting. And with this idea of success and accomplishment, I'm curious, how do you define success and accomplishments?
Yeah, I'll butcher it. Like the success for me, like the real way is John Wooden quote. It's something to the effect of, to like, you know, at the end of the day, knowing that you gave your absolute best, and even though the result might not like come out to it, it's like, you know, when you put your head on the pillow at night, you did your best. And like, for me, that's it. Like, I know what my internal benchmarks are and what I can achieve. And I know when I took the foot off the gas, et cetera. So success for me is, you know, getting better and improving and doing better from that. And increasingly it's trying to leave a broader impact on others. And it starts with my family and that type of thing, trying to set things up so that it's a little less stress for my wife, you know, that my kids enjoy it, but they grow up with the understanding of the value of money, you know, and stuff. And it's not just like grows on trees or just comes out of, you know, daddy. It's like, no, mommy works too. It's not daddy's money. It's our money. And like, we're consciously spending, to use a Ramit Sethi phrase, like consciously spending money on things we value, like vacations and time together and stuff. And I don't buy crap I don't need. I spend on like running sneakers, books, and, you know, that type of stuff, you know, plain t-shirts. They are, you know, I don't care, you know, and that's where I get a little bit of the satisfaction and value, you know.
That's so good. And I feel like it's such an important message to be said, especially for the younger audience that has believed the lie that you have to go broke trying to look rich.
Yeah.
And you're spending all this money to impress people that don't even care or don't even like you to begin with. And
yeah,
if you would just find that fulfillment. And I like to look at success and that idea of, it's where it's that the marriage of impact and influence and fulfillment. Because so many times we could get stuck in, you hear all the time, all the people that like hate their job, hate their life.
Right.
And they could change it. You can change it. You listening at home, if you're listening and you want that better life, like you can change it. And it comes from this space. I think it also comes from this space of not complacency, but contentment. Because a lot of times we'll chase this feeling of happiness. Like it's the end all be all. Mm-hmm. But what about having joy in where you're at now? And you'll be so surprised at what that can do with you. But yeah, go ahead.
I'm just nodding because like that's a message I didn't learn for so long. And it's a little bit about gratitude, and it's a lot about being happy with what you have right now. And you know, when is enough enough? Because if you're always looking to like get something or have something or achieve something in order to be happy, once you get there, you're going to want, it's another goal and thing that you have. And so if that's the case, then by definition, 99% of your days you're going to be unhappy and grinding and wanting and wishing. And it's like, I butcher every quote, but it's like, instead of like wanting what you have right now and like really being grateful for it and experiencing it and loving it and enjoying the days, because they'll often say like, you know, when you look back on your life, it's the little moments and the little things, it's the little routines that you used to do that you're going to remember versus like, oh, remember when I got that promotion? That's not what you're going to be talking about. You're going to be talking about the time you and your family were like traveling over the thing and you stopped at this one rest stop and, you know, my son bought these crazy socks. And like, that's what's just going to pop in your head. Or it's like the first time you had whatever fast food and like, at, you know, on the roadside. My family actually wasn't on the trip. I was in college, but my whole entire family took two minivans or vans actually to the Jersey Shore together, you know, and they were actually to a wedding. And in typical fashion, they stopped on the side of the road and had like a feast. You can imagine Italians like with like, a, you know, Italian wedges and these big, you know, meals and cheese, blocks of cheese. And like, I'm like, would you guys take out wine? Oh, no, we were driving. But like that's what they remember, you know, or playing football the day before the wedding or the morning before the wedding, you know, and stuff. And so all these little stories come from moments that actually didn't cost money, you know, and that's the thing. And so if you hear more stories like what you just said, what I'm saying, it hopefully starts sinking in. And it's like, I don't need that new driver, you know, for my golf set. Like, I'm pretty good. You know, I'll take the 4-fit. I mean, I can't even imagine. I was in a golf shop the other day. I was like, what? Like, it's been a long time since I bought a golf club. And I'm like, nah, like, I'll give the 450 to like the arcade and let's go hang out and have a great day out with the family and win my kids some prizes. And we did. So, you know, it's like, which will get thrown away and everything like that, but we'll have pictures and they'll have memories of daddy playing the claw machine until he won and like stuff like that. They'll remember that.
Yeah, I love that. And it's so important to drive home that idea. I think of it even now. Me and my wife will settle in after a long day and we're not looking at our bank accounts and excited about how great our bank accounts are not are.
Yeah.
We're not spending our, I mean, we spend some time on TikTok and social, of course. Yeah. My wife will be scrolling through old photos and videos of our kids, which I mean, I have almost a 3-year-old and then a 6-month. Yeah. So they're still super young. But even like looking back when our almost 3-year-old was one or before he was one, when he's crawling, and like watching that again, it brings more joy than any like, oh, I closed this huge deal today or X, Y, Z.
Yeah.
And it's so important to keep the main thing, which you mentioned faith. I'm curious to hear a little bit when it comes to your faith aspect.
I'm either going to make a lot of people out there happy or disappointed or like, you know, what are they? So faith for me is like on a couple of dimensions. One is obviously your religion. So, and I don't talk about religion. I don't force anything on anybody. You do your, like, that's the, that, like, it's a common phrase to myself to remind myself that other people are different than me and it's okay. I grew up a certain way, et cetera. So you do you, I do me. That's one thing. But that's important to people. And so like, right. Or you can be an atheist. The other part of faith is the faith in yourself and your mental mindset. And the ability, this is really about the millionaire mindset. It's called the millionaire mindset, but it's the success mindset, et cetera. The belief that you can be, do, and have anything you want in life. To like actually believe and say, okay, I'm gonna put in the work. I'm capable. I'm able to do this, and I'm just gonna go get it. So, and it's a little bit more about the, you know, Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, where I think it was applied faith is how he wrote about it. But like, that's it. It's just the mindset in yourself. The fitness component is also, it's physical and mental health, because I believe that, you know, doing a work of a little bit of a different nature, you know, of investing yourself in terms of like meditation and some of those things and journaling and getting your thoughts out there and maybe therapy if you need it. Because your mindset really is the driver, both conscious and unconscious mind, not to get all woo-woo, shishi on your audience. But like, if you get your mind right and you're in the right mindset, doesn't matter where you are in life right now, you're going to find a way, you know, and you're going to find that blueprint. You're going to find that mentor. You're going to just crush it in life. And you see it all the time. And so it's trying to eliminate both from the faith side and the mental fitness, eliminating victim thinking in your head, blaming people, taking total responsibility and ownership of your life, like just those things. And this is like, this isn't something I've been doing all my life. It was just like, I think it was like 2018 or 17 when I read Extreme Ownership, you know, and it just kicked in. I'm like, oh my God, I've been placing blame on everybody else. Actually, another good book is Untethered Soul. As you can tell, I'm a big book reader and stuff like that. I don't even remember the whole message. I just remember it like shifting in my head about being, you know, just blaming everybody for my situation. Oh, I'm not getting promoted at work. I'm not always happy. It's like all this and that. Control what you can control, you know, and that's one thing. And you might have been dealt a bad hand in life. You might have been born in a bad situation, family-wise or culturally-wise or in a bad neighborhood or stuff like that. You know, you might be an immigrant, like my parents were to this, and barely speaking English, and they made it, you know, but they worked hard and they provided, et cetera. And it's just saying, no, yes, bad things happened to me or I had some bad breaks, but what can I do now? And it might not be the next time or the next time and the next time, but I always say to people when they come after me on Twitter and they're like, or X, they're like, oh yeah, but you know, not everybody is so lucky to that. And I'm in a country that this and everything. And I'm like, and it sounds bad, like what I'm about to say. I'm like, but there's a lot of options. And I always start with, is there someone from your country or in your area or in your neighborhood or in your thing that got out, that succeeded, that was able to do better? Yes or no? And they won't ever like reply, but like, this is always the case. And there's like, read Oprah's bio, like the crap that she went through up to age 16, 17 is crazy, horrendous, et cetera. And look at her today. You've got folks that are dyslexic, that are billionaires. You have people that were homeless and that made it. And so I didn't feel that. So I, you know, I'm like, these aren't my examples. Tony Robbins always talks about being broke in a 400 square foot bachelor apartment, and look at them now. Like, it's just, it does nothing good for you to like sit there and say, dwell on the past, or this person broke up with me, or my damn ex-wife, or this, you know, that type of thing, or I got screwed out of that deal, or I was backstabbed, or it was office politics, or it's like, I'm this race, I'm this gender. It doesn't help you. It just doesn't. And so that's why I always try to say, look, what can you do with what you have? What skill set can you get? YouTube is free. There's tons of free resources. You can learn. You can find a mentor, you know, and you can hop on one of these social media platforms and build multi-million dollar businesses for like a couple of bucks a month. in fees and no code tools and things of that nature. And so sorry for a little bit of the right turn on this, but I just really want people to get that message, because a lot of people are like down and out and just being like, oh, this is so bad. My dad was the son of, you know what, and this, and alcohol or drugs, and I'm, you know, this and that. And I'm like, but today's a new day. What? Today is a new day. So like, how do you step forward? And like, what can you do? Even if it's a step back to your comment about fitness before, you know, you got 10 minutes. Well, what positive thing can you do? What, you know, can you clean up your diet a little bit? Can you start learning a different skill at night and then go apply for those jobs so you can get paid more? Can you drive for Uber? Can you do this? Can you sell stuff on Etsy? You know, can you move to another state? Can you move to another place? You got family somewhere else, or a friend that moved out, or you and your buddies just, you know, Mark Cuban tells the story. I think he was living like 5 or 6 guys after college, you know, to cut expenses. Hormozy says the same thing. You know, he's like living on the gym floor to make it happen. So there's always these examples of people who have done it. And I just bring it up, you know, obviously I'm lucky from my standpoint, both parents loving, still alive, like all the support. You know, I fell in love with education and like, and all that. And I'm not perfect, but like, I just want to get, that's the legacy I want. You know, maybe I can kick a couple of people in the butt and say, you know what? He's right. Yeah. You know, maybe I'm playing this victim game. And you called about out the comfort zone earlier too. I was guilty of that for like several years in a row. And so finally I looked at myself in the mirror. I'm like, I am fat. And I'm like out of shape. I do not like this. And that started the running journey back. You know, this was 2015, started running again and getting in shape and stuff like that. And that's all you need. You need a kick in the pants, maybe an accountability partner, someone to believe in you. If you don't have anybody around you that believes in you, there's plenty of people online that you can hook up with that can believe in you. But it starts with that self-belief, and that's belief. And that's where the faith pillar comes in. You know, first starting with, I am destined for more than this. Enough is enough. And if you still don't feel that way, just put like David Goggins or one of these kind of like guys on repeat and just blast it into your head, because that guy had it pretty rough, and look at what he has accomplished in his life.
Come on, that's so good. And I love that piece of community, because so many times when it comes to these ideas of victimhood that people take, is they look at their community within the circle in real life. And I'm like, newsflash. You're on any kind of social media surrounded by people like Fabio, like me, that, I mean, if you're looking for community, you found it. Follow either one of us and be encouraged by our content, because it's not a game for us. We want to show people that there is a better way. If you truly think that this is it, oh, you've been dealt a bad hand, I'm sorry you went through things, and you can change them. And it starts with that idea of that, having that step, that mental step. Because I feel like when it comes, and I love that you mentioned millionaire mindset. Long before you were a millionaire, I'm sure it was the mindset piece that you decided, this is going to be the options that I face. Like even now, like I'm not a millionaire yet. And even before we hopped on this call, I was like, I'm about to be on a podcast with a multimillionaire. This is my new normal. Being around millions is my new normal. And it's breaking those limited beliefs is what's going to get you into the rooms that you want to be in. And I could go on this forever, but I'm so glad you leaned into that.
And it's just to build on that too. It's like, because like I feel like what I did wasn't super special, although I did the work. So for me, you know, changed jobs, went to school at night when my friends were partying. I still remember, you know, those 3 years that I was working at a company, my friends that were 21, 22, you know, during up to that time, they were partying at night, coming in a little bit hungover. And I was sitting at my desk reading the Wall Street Journal because I want to learn about business. And I put in the effort. During lunch, they'd all sit together in this big room and have lunch together. And I couldn't do it because I was writing my papers during my lunch hour. And that's how I did it. You know, and at the start, I don't want this to be like a woe is me, but like I didn't have the money to be like, okay, let me go buy a laptop, you know? So I did my work on the company laptop and like during the day, you know, and that type of thing. And so I don't want this to come like a woe is me, but it's just like put in the work. You can just set aside a little bit of money, whatever you can, invest it in whatever you, you know, whether it's a business, real estate, stock market, whatever it might be that makes sense for you. and get that compounding machine working for you. You know, make interest work for you, not against you. Against you is like consumer debt, credit cards, personal loans, car loans, things of that nature, taking money out of your pocket. The moment you flip the script and you play banker and you invest in the market or wherever it is, and there's risks involved, you know, the market's overheated, it's going to, you know, at a certain point come down and then it goes back up and everything. It's like a little bit of a yo-yo, but generally up and to the right. And so that's why it's like online calculators, that's what I did. Actually, I did it with a spreadsheet. You know, you punch in X amount of dollars for, you know, X amount of months, et cetera. Now I have a free app on my phone. I just punch in the numbers every so often just for, you know, to amuse myself. Like, I wonder what this could grow to. And that's all it took. It was a couple of bucks, a 401k, et cetera. You know, taking a company match, living below my means, driving my car into the ground, but still being happy. We went out to dinner every weekend, my wife and I. I bought a book every weekend. I read way too much and like a nice bottle of wine here and there. So we still had fun, but we were made sure it's like, I got to put away X percent every month and life will take care, you know, the rest will take care of itself.
I love it. And you keep mentioning books because you know I have to ask. So top three books that have made the most impact on your life.
So you know, I'll probably say more than, because I'll go career and finances and stuff. I think I did a thread on this and I can always like send it to you afterwards. But yeah. From the financial standpoint, it was Millionaire Next Door, which opened my eyes. That was it. Automatic Millionaire, because it was the latte factor. That made me go too extreme, to be honest. I, you know, it's like saving every dollar, you know, and investing it and paying down my debt. But it was really smart about autopilot. Like that was the thing for me. Rich Dad, Poor Dad, it really opened my eyes to like, you know, basically your house isn't an asset. And it is an asset, but like it costs money. So if I had to do it over again, I basically discovered it after I bought a house, you know, and so I would have bought a different type and all that other type of thing. From a career standpoint, Good to Great, Jim Collins' book, that really just like said, okay, I'm on the right path. The way I like to approach managing and leading people is a certain way. And in that book kind of reinforced it. And the idea of like, in the second book, Great by Choice, of like, you know, 20 mile marches, like slow and consistent, like efforts, not just like sprint and like burnout, sprint and burnout, but like, what's the sustainable work that you can do consistently was important. There's a book called Rise. I always forget the author's name, and she's wonderful. She was, I think, an IBM exec. And it's just the framework was for your career: do better, look better, connect better. And it was like, do better work, make sure you got visibility for it and people know and you're presenting, et cetera, and connect better. So that's the networking. I add the factor of like, you want people to push and push you and be an advocate for you. So that was important. So that just got the mindset of do better, look better, connect better. And my buddy and I did an analysis at our company. We have a Fortune 50 company, basically. We went through like the last 30 people that have been promoted. And I said, okay, give me the three. What did they do? And everyone did two of three. The rare person did three of three. So you can do like great work and then showcase it. And they're like, wow, we got to promote this guy. You can look better. So you can talk the talk. Maybe you're not doing the work. And then you're connected and you got people as a sponsor, and you might not have done the work, but you got promoted. You might do great work and you're networked. You know, we've seen that where a VP loved you and stuff like that, and you did great work, you get promoted. So it's just little things like that. The book just, it goes in here and I process it and I go, okay, how am I going to change my approach to life based on what I'm learning? You know, and lately Hormozi's books, you know, maybe not the books, but like actually the idea of the 100, you know, factors of 100, of putting in 100 reps and doing the work and like brute force, and that like that insecurity or imposter syndrome, he'll just outwork it until he becomes it. Like that's such a great mindset to have. And that's kind of what I did. I'm just like, I'm just going to do this work. Am I qualified to lead a big team? Who cares? Like we got to go do the work, you know? So anyway, I can keep rattling up. You pick a topic. I can like mention it. Like I said, I read way too much.
No, I love it. And I read a decent amount, but definitely not to that degree, but I love that. There's so many different ways I could go from here.
Yeah. Well, what's a favorite book that you recommend to people?
I would say, man, there's a few here. One that's really been big for me lately is, I think it's called The Power of TED, but it's the empowerment Let me see. I'll pull it up on my.
Okay. Yeah, no, it's fine.
Yeah, I want to pull it up. And then the other one's The Big Leap by.
Oh, I love that book. Gay Hendricks or something.
He's got the follow-up too.
Those, when I was in a transition in my career, I read those like back to back, and those helped. Like there's the John Gordon books, you know, like little thin books, like The Energy Bus and all those things. Like there's so many great books that if you just read, if like you're having issues in whatever area of life, you can find a book or podcast or, you know, even a Twitter stream or X stream of someone who's like positive and like making it happen. That is just going to basically influence you, you know, both passively and actively, or subconsciously, consciously.
Yeah, it's The Power of TED, The Empowerment Dynamic. And it speaks a lot on that idea of we fall into two categories. We either see ourselves as the victim or the creator. And yeah, and it's that whole idea.
I love it.
There's the disempowerment dynamic where you're blaming everybody. It's kind of the generalized, but it's really interesting the way it was written because it's almost written like a parable or like a novel from like this guy meets a guy, the narrator of the story meets this man named Ted, and he's the empowerment dynamic essentially. And he kind of like, it's a little woo-woo, but I like the woo-woo sometimes just with what it is, but there's so much, but I won't take too much more of your time. I just have a couple more questions before we land the plane. And it's been already, it's been such a great conversation. I've gotten value from it. So I know my audience will definitely get value from it.
Hopefully.
I'm sure of it. So as we kind of wrap up today's conversation, there's just a couple questions I have. I always like this question, and it could be cliche to a degree, but I think it's really interesting to hear everyone's perspective on it. And you kind of touched on it a little earlier, but it's that idea of picture you're at the end of your life and, you know, you're on your deathbed, metaphorical deathbed, whatever you want to look at it like, and you're surrounded by your loved ones. What do you want to be remembered for?
Yeah, that's a tough one for me. Like it's just someone who lived a good life, cared about everybody, tried to do his best. And, you know, just hopefully there's a signature moment or two where I was able to change someone's life, you know, just like came into your life at a certain point. Obviously, a little bit different from my family. So the direct immediate family, I want them to think a little bit differently. But whether it's, you know, I've had former colleagues come up to me and be like, oh, I remember that book you gave me, you know, when you left or that type of thing, or you know, you gave me a shot, or you pushed for me, or thank you for backing me up on that. Like just that type of thing. Sometimes I do worry that they're going to think of me like Charlie Munger. The joke is that his family calls him a book with legs, you know, and that, you know, they'll remember me as like always at the table reading, or, you know, maybe even falling asleep at the couch after a meal because he's exhausted or something like that, you know, that type of thing. But just they'll probably remember me like a sarcastic, funny type person who had his finances on lockdown. And hopefully, you know, hopefully the next whatever amount of years, I'll make a bigger impact. It'll be like, remember that book he wrote, you know, and stuff like that. It changed my life. So that'd be something to shoot for.
Come on, dude. I love that. That's so good. And now is the part of my show. Well, before that, obviously, we're going to link your information on the descriptions and the show.
Sure.
So definitely I'll pause here. We always have to do it, but okay. Definitely connect with Fabio, connect with me. If you haven't connected with me already, I think it's great what Fabio is doing. If you hear his story and what he's telling you, and you're like, man, this guy has got it figured out. I need help from him. Reach out to him. Yeah. Sure. He's got some courses, some coaching even. I'm not sure exactly what
no, at this stage, I'm not I mentally, you know, I don't want to take time away from my family at this point. And it's like, you know, I have a coach and he's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, this sounds really bad to say. I don't need the money.
Yeah.
From the standpoint of like, it's going to take a lot of work and hours.
Yeah.
And the value that the money I would get from that in my head is not worth it right now. My kids are 10. I'd rather like, my son's downstairs. My wife went out shopping with my daughter and her sister and my niece. And like, I'd rather just be like, I'll write some tweets if he's hanging out and he wants to do a video. We wrote, you know, he wrote two books. I was the editor. I helped package it. Like, that's the memory he'll have of dad Eddie being, he calls me the angry editor. Like, that's the stuff I'll do and spend and invest money in. I'll write tiny books and charge like nothing for them and I'll sell them, et cetera. But like to do a cohort or a course or coaching for someone, I want to do it because I want to impact people because it's the mindset piece. And I see a void in the marketplace and I can say, I could do that. You know, I could be the one that's like hopefully helping people, the average guy and gal, the 9-to-5er, the parents or, you know, the singles or the, you know, recently married who are struggling. I can hopefully help them. And I have frameworks and things like that I've thought about on my runs, but like that takes a lot of time. You know, so kudos to like Justin Welsh, who's married and I think a young kid, or people who do that, like Jenna Kutcher, and they start a business and they've got a family, et cetera. Like, God bless them. I'm just not at that stage right now. You know, I've got another, I call it 8 years with the kids in the family, in the house before they go to college. You know, so I'm going to try to be there. And if they peace out dad at 16 and they want to hang out with their friends and stuff, I'll have more time to coach people or something, but not right now.
Love it. I love it. But yeah, until then, definitely go read your exes. I don't know what they're calling it these days.
I know. Twitter, F Marciano. It's easy, like F Marciano, Fabio. It's F Marciano. And it's, you know, I'm trying to share like lately a little bit of hot takes, things that make people think a little bit harder about like the 9-to-5 or solopreneur and stuff. I think people, I was there too early, like 20 years ago, trying to start a side hustle. And I got basically break even after 5 or 6 years of chasing that. And so it can be done and you got to do it right. And you can't fall into the FOMO and the shiny object syndrome. But I think a lot of people are like, I'm like, you probably could work just a little bit harder and be top of your company or get some skills, leave your company and go somewhere else, get paid more. And by the way, you might only have to work like 40 hours and you got remote and you got benefits and you got a 401k match and you can travel the world with some companies. People shit on it. And I'm just like, yes. And so make your choice. I get it. If you're just starting new in your career and you're living in your mom's basement and like you make $4 an hour, I'm kidding. But like, it's easy to replace your income and that's an easy thing. It's sexy. And I know there's Amazon drop shipping and all this other stuff, but like it takes work. And if you're not the type of person who has that and has that drive to work, on something and you have a family set up that you're going to go unbalanced on, you know, maybe you just rethink of how you're approaching your side hustle and your business and your life.
Yeah. So good. So good.
Sorry, I went off another rant there. But those are the messages people need to hear of like, it's not as turnkey, you know, like how many people actually finish a course? How many people actually, you know, make a dollar online? And so it's just like, and yes, if you can do it, great. Lean in, go for it. But at the same time, if you're not seeing traction and you're not making money and you're not seeing growth, you got to either do something different within it or sit there and say, okay, maybe this isn't for me. Maybe if I double down on my job, like I did years ago, it'll pay off.
For sure. For sure. Man, you're dropping knowledge that I know a lot of people.
Sorry.
A little bit myself too. So it's always good to hear. So with that, I just have, technically two more questions for you. The next one is, I could ask questions all day, but I like to ask my guests if they have any questions for me. I like to flip it. So do you have any questions for me?
Yeah. What's at the end of the day, what's the impact you want to have on your audience? Like what do you hope they get out of, you know, consuming, let's call it 7 hours of your content? Like,
I love it.
What do you hope they would sit there and say, wow, the general theme Red is telling me is X. Like, what do I need to do?
Sure. So as you heard at the beginning, the name of it as of right now is the Better Than Best Academy. And it's named that for a few reasons. The idea of Better Than Best is this idea of there's always growth in our life. Now, it's kind of like the money ain't wealth kind of thing. There's growth, but not at the expense of your family or not at the expense of your health. Like it's a holistic type of growth in that idea. And then even with the academy idea, it says those life lessons that we didn't learn in school. Cause for me, I wasn't like a huge fan of school. I did well because I was generally a smart kid, but it was like what I enjoyed the social aspect and what was learned. I kind of like the school of hard knocks kind of idea. Yeah. And it's like when I have these conversations with people, and they share those little nuggets, like these little tangents you went on that people need to hear. It's those things for me. And also it's the piece of, I look at it, so I'd say probably about 5-8-ish years ago, I came to the point of my life where I realized most of my life I was trying to perform and seek out approval and be, you know, I was chasing the shiny objects. I was wanting to look rich and go broke kind of thing. I had a 10-year rap career that you can only imagine how that was like. I was immersed in that side of things.
That's awesome.
I got to a point where I found out with life that we're human beings, not human doings.
Yeah, I love it.
So much of our life, especially in the States, I've been talking to a lot of people overseas here recently, but especially in the States, like when we talk to people, just small talk, it's usually, what do you do? What's your career? Those are great things, but what's behind that? Like, who's the person behind that? And something that interesting came out of lockdowns and all the nonsense that was of that was that idea of like, we literally had to put our lives on, our working lives on hold. And it was in that that, you know, I got closer to my wife. We had our first son during like all that craziness.
Yeah.
And it was in that I was like, wow, I've put so much effort of my life into trying to get to something that I never would have really been satisfied with. And of course, faith's a big aspect in my life. Like I'm a Christian. I play drums at my church. Like that's definitely a key. But it was like an even deeper step into that. It's like you mentioned kind of like the faith in yourself and that mindset shift. And I say all that to say, like, as I've walked this and continue to walk this journey, I hope that I can take people along with me, open their eyes to the fact, especially like younger people, like, you know, 20s to 30s, because I turned 30 a few months ago. It's because I see it so much because they're in the grind, which nothing wrong with working hard. I'm here to work hard, but it's like, don't work hard at the expense of burning out. Don't work hard at the expense of the things that matter in your life, your faith.
100%.
And if they could just get 1% of that and get 1% better from that's really the goal of my podcast.
That's awesome. That's awesome. It hits hard, you know, like, and when you were talking and it's like finding yourself and like what you want to do and all that other stuff, like I layered in with the finances piece of just trying to get the message. Like if you take care of your finances, you don't even have to be perfect. Like you just live below your means. Like that's your mantra. Like I'm going to spend, like we can't afford it. We're going to save for that, you know, thing. Or I don't need a new car, you know, and it's like the big, we haven't gotten into the finance piece. And I know we're going to wrap this up, but it's just leave the message. Like Scott Trench from Bigger Pockets, the CEO there, he wrote a book, an amazing book, Set for Life. And he talks about like the big three. Those are the three expenses, your housing, transportation, and your food are like 60% of your budget. Even if you just optimize those three and you found a way to cut back on groceries or Uber Eats and DoorDash and all this stuff, if you worked on like buying a used car, or you just drove it into the ground, or you figured out a way, do we need two cars or in your home, buy less home than you need, or every time you can refinance, get the low rate and optimize that, you free up the cash that you can then save and invest, and then you get to spend the rest. And it's like, it's the mental strain on about money, on relationships and, you know, marriages and kids and all that other stuff is huge. So if you get your finances out, like I call it like on lockdown, like you're just like tight, you just got it done, you become like financially unbreakable. So if there's a job loss that comes, you can cover it. If something else happens, you can cover it. And that's what I just want to get people to that point. And it just starts with just this mindset of like, there's seven things that steps for to become, you know, like financially solid. And I just want to continue to communicate that, because then it just makes of the five pillars of wealth, one's set. Now you can go relationships and that type of thing, your faith, you can take care of your health. You don't have to worry like, oh, I can't afford organic, or I would love to buy this supplement, can't afford it. It's like, no, now you can, you know, you can do those things and you can have those experiences that memory, they pay memory dividends, you know, and they last a lifetime.
For sure. Man, I love it. It's been, and we totally could go for another. But I like to stick to my hour tops rule.
You got it. We're right on it.
We're right on it. So with that, so I have a new segment, and this is my closing segment. And unfortunately, so I have my guest leave a question for the next guest. Unfortunately, there were some technical issues with my previous guest, so I don't have a guest question for you. Keep it rolling, which maybe he'll be able to phone a friend. Maybe he can phone it in and then I'll get it to you.
I'll answer it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And we'll get it that way. But if we don't get it that way before this goes live and it'll be a little while. That'll be okay. Cause I love to leave it and continue it with now. Yeah. You get to leave a question for my next guest.
So for me, for the next person.
Yes, yes.
You know, it's a play on the one, like...
Was that not a fire conversation? I know you are going to leave better than before you tuned into it. And if you enjoyed this conversation, be sure to hit the subscribe button on screen. And if you want to continue watching more inspiring and encouraging content, you can click here. If you really got something out of this, or if you have any feedback so that we can make this show even better, don't hesitate, drop a comment below. As always, thank you, and I look forward to seeing you again soon.